Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a pre-recorded production dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Matthew Causey.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. I'm your host, Matthew Causey. Today we have special guest Dr. Jeremy Bird, an internal medicine and pediatric certified physician with Prisma Health. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So winter is here in South Carolina. We're feeling it a bit right now. And a lot of what we tend to see is that people seem to get more sick or sick more often in the wintertime. Is that actually true, or is that just kind of a placebo thing? And why would that be?
That's a great question. It's absolutely true. During the wintertime, we see folks gathering, which is the best part about the holidays. But as we gather, particularly into tight spaces, we have a tendency to share our illnesses. And so we have definitely seen an uptick in things like the flu and even COVID in our community.
So how can people actually protect themselves in the wintertime? What are some of the things that people can do during this time to protect themselves from the types of issues that they would encounter in the winter?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. Of course, the best treatment is prevention. And so I always encourage folks to consider getting immunizations. Not everyone chooses to do that, but, you know, getting the flu shot can help with prevention, or at least help folks, get better a little bit faster. We've been seeing that in the office, that the vaccine has offered some benefit. But if you choose not to do vaccines, you know, frequent hand washing, keeping your hands, it sounds like a basic thing, just keep your hands away from your eyes and your nose. I have a tendency to rub my eyes a lot, and that is just the worst setup for illness, because illness gets into your eyes pretty easily. And then, of course, if you're a little bit sick, don't hesitate to just kind of hang at home, or hang apart, or wear a mask. I know masks are not everybody wants to wear one, but if you're sick, it can help you not spread your illness on to family members or friends that may not want that.
So you mentioned a little bit about the flu and getting your flu shot. So how is the flu season actually looking this year?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's interesting. You know, right after the pandemic, we thought that we would see an uptick in illnesses in the community. And I just don't think last year was too bad. Last year seemed like it was okay, and it was kind of a normal year. But I think, you know, folks quarantining and wearing masks and staying out of public places and all that, you know, definitely we've seen it jump up this year. And so in regards to your question, we usually see, like last year this time, flu A was about 15% in the community, and this year it's 8%, which doesn't sound that bad. But flu B was 0% last year, and that's up 8.5% this year. And so we've seen like a dramatic rise of flu B in the community and in the office too. RSV is about double of what it was last year. RSV is a virus that can cause some breathing difficulty in little kids. In particular, like babies and older adults. And then COVID's about the same as it was last year at this time. And so, you know, we're just seeing an uptick all around in illnesses.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So you mentioned that the flu shot has looked helpful this year, but it is at the end of December, early January kind of time, a little late, later than a lot of people would get their flu shots. Is it too late for people to get flu shots, or should people still be getting their flu shots even now?
Yeah, that's another great question. A few years back, actually, it was more than a few years back, we had two spikes in flu. It was like in the first part of the season, and I don't remember which, it was flu A, and the second part of the season was flu B. And so I would just say that, folks that we're seeing in the office more with flu B may be at risk for getting flu A later in the season. So I think any type of protection would be helpful, because we just don't know how things are going to go. Now, I mean, I'm an internal optimist, and I'm hoping that this is the worst and just goes down. But that, we just don't know. And if you have flu B, you can have flu A or vice versa. So I think it's helpful to get the vaccine just to offer that extra protection.
So we've been talking a little bit about the flu, but there's plenty of other things that go around during the cold weather and whatnot. So what are some of the other sorts of issues that you've been seeing people come in with this winter that people should be watching out for?
Well, and I there are a lot of things we can see folks in the office with, but one thing that I guess a little bit of a surprise to me is that we have seen in the hospital in particular an increase in pneumonia, and in particular a pneumonia called atypical pneumonia. And so I've been surprised to see that in the office too. I mean, I don't know what type of pneumonia somebody has in the office. In the hospital, they do more specific testing. And so I'm just telling my patients, hey, if you've had a cough or a new onset of fever after being sick, like you got better and you got sick again, to not hesitate going to see your doctor, because you may have been developing pneumonia. And so we have seen more of that in the community. And people always ask too, you've heard about pneumonia, but what is that? And that's whereas we see upper respiratory infections, affecting like the nose and the sinuses and this kind of thing, and pneumonia is a lower illness deep in your lungs, and something that is often treated with antibiotics. Of course, viruses can cause pneumonia too, but the type of pneumonia I'm talking about needs antibiotics to get better.
What are some of the ways that people can attempt to mitigate the risk of this kind of issue?
Yeah, so all the same things we talked about before, in terms of being careful about going out if you're sick, and if you are sick, wearing a mask, washing hands, all these kind of things. But basically, sometimes these pneumonias will follow a viral illness, and so if you can protect with immunization, this kind of thing. I know I'm kind of beating the same thing, the same issues. But I think importantly, it's just trying to be aware that it's out there. And being safe, particularly as we travel, like airplane travel and other things, you just being safe with frequent hand washing and consideration of wearing a mask and immunization. So kind of the same stuff I would recommend over and over again.
So we mentioned as well before about how the holiday season is here and a lot of people like to get together and that can cause diseases to spread and things like that. So even if family doesn't seem to actively look sick or anything like that, what are some of the best practices that people should follow during these family gatherings to avoid potential spreading of germs and things?
So we're talking about respiratory viruses, but, you know, I think we also see stomach viruses too this time. And so, you know, I think I was thinking about, you know, like food prep. You didn't ask this question, but, you know, I think about food prep, making sure that you're washing surfaces, particularly after you cook, you know, raw meat like chicken and this kind of thing. But, you know, stomach viruses, I've seen some of that today inside the office, and those pass pretty quickly, usually through folks that like put their, have a tendency to put their hands in their mouth, like little kids. And so, you know, kind of encouraging kids not to do that or washing hands prior or after doing that, is that it's spread by hands in the mouth and, you know, objects in the mouth. And so that's what I think about. I think about stomach viruses and or food poisoning in terms of mitigating illness. It's just the basic things. I don't have any other things, you know, necessarily to advise. I do think a lot of people talk about vitamin C and zinc and those kind of things. And I never say that those things are wrong. You know, I think good nutrition, good rest are undervalued. When people don't sleep, they get sick. And it's just our body, the best thing we can do for ourselves is, and we don't do this during the holiday season, is, you know, eat healthy, sleep, get good rest, and just all the normal healthy behaviors we talk about all the time are that much more important in the sick season. And, you know, as we gather with family and friends.
Oh, definitely. And we'll get into some of that kitchen and food-related stuff in just a minute. I have a bunch of questions to ask about. But I also wanted to touch on the other side of when sick family members still, of course, want to spend time when they can. But where is there a line when people should accept that they need to stay home? Or what are some safe ways that people can try to spend some time together, even if they are dealing with a little bit of sickness or things like that? What generally should people kind of follow for that?
Yeah. And so I think the most important thing I tell people is fever. Fever, if you're febrile, you just got to stay away. You have to. But usually when the fever resolves as a result of treatment or just your body fighting with the normal defenses, your infectiousness is a lot less. And so I think if you have an illness and you've kind of gotten over the initial aches and fever and this kind of thing, and then beyond that, I think it's just trying to wash hands and maybe even considering, like I said, wearing a mask. I think those are things that you can do. I mean, I've had a little cold this week and I've just been wearing a mask to my patients because I'm on the upswing. I'm doing better, but, you know, just trying to, I don't want to give that to any of my patients. So.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Definitely. Well, with the holiday seasons, of course, people are going to be spending a lot of time in the kitchens preparing meals and things like that. So we touched a little bit about meat, making sure that meat is fully cooked. But what are some of the other common kitchen-related dangers that people should be cautious of? What should people be doing regularly in the kitchen to keep everything safe?
That's a good question. I think the most important thing is we sit things out on the counter for long periods of time. And that definitely can be dangerous, you know, and so room temperature dairy items, you know, for long periods of time is something that I worry about. You know, you always hear the story about mayonnaise that kind of thing. Meat should be stored. I think none of us measure temperature, but you don't want it room temperature for long periods of time, of course. And so just thinking in these family gatherings, and just, you know, we'll eat and then we'll have things sitting out, and the thing I worry about is people going back several hours later, it's just been sitting on the countertop, you know, cooked food or cold food that should probably remain refrigerated. So I just encourage folks, hey, put it back in the fridge and refrigerate it until you cook it and warm it up, and then don't continue to reheat it. Reheat it one time and then that's it. You can only, you know, do that one time. You can't keep on reheating, because what happens is bacteria will grow as it goes back to room temperature, and then you cool it back off. It takes a little while for it to cool off. And so kind of keeping those things in mind. And then also remembering, you know, germs can, on one food can get on another food. So just kind of using like the same cutting board, let's say for a meat or something, and then, you know, doing vegetables. I mean, just kind of thinking about these kind of things, ways in which we might transmit illness. This is a very common thing this time of year, just because we are, you know, doing, you know, this gathering and putting things on the counter and this kind of thing. So just running through some how to prevent food poisoning, you know, you want to make sure you don't use unpasteurized milk or foods. You want to wash fruits and vegetables before eating them. These are common basic things. Keep the fridge cold. You know, I've heard 40 degrees before. And then, you know, don't hesitate to really cook, you know, meat and seafood until it's well done. And then cook eggs until the yolk is firm. And just wash hands, especially after dealing with raw meat.
So I know that no matter how safe people try to be in the kitchens, injuries and things can still happen, most commonly things like cuts and burns. So what are some of the, what, how should people respond and treat those injuries when they encounter them?
Yeah, and so great question. I think I would start with you mentioned burns. And so with burns, I think, we always have to think about the thickness of a burn, and like how much has been affected. Most of, you know, we don't use the terms like first degree, second degree, third degree any longer. We think more in terms of thickness nowadays, and how deep the burn is. So most superficial burns are just going to affect the top layer of the skin, and they're going to get better in 3 to 6 days. And so I think the important thing with burns is to we want to prevent infection. And so, you know, washing with some soap and water is the right thing to do after a burn, and keeping it clean, even if you keep a little antibacterial ointment on it, is the most important thing. If you have a severe burn, you know, don't hesitate to be seen. And I say that just because, you know, burns, particularly in little children, are something that we like to see to make sure everything's okay. Treating a simple burn with either ibuprofen or acetaminophen or dash Tylenol is appropriate, and just putting like a cool rag on it, are kind of basic ways to kind of treat that. And be careful and not to scratch the burn, because we don't, like I said, infection is what we're trying to prevent, of course. You asked about cuts, and so, I think that goes back to what we just, same thing we were saying with burns, just keep, you know, cleaning the wound with soap and water. And it's hard to advise, like, you know, when does the burn need to be seen by a doctor, i.e. stitched up. And I would say any burn that is deep and large, it's probably better that it's seen, more than anything, just so we can evaluate and see if we need to do any type of special cleaning of the wound to make sure it needs to be prevent infection. If it's something very superficial, then, you know, soap and water and a topical antibiotic is the best move.
Are there any other kinds of common injuries that you regularly see people come in with around the holiday season that people should be watching out for and know how to respond to?
You know, you bring up a great question. And so the most common cause of death in kids, you know, is non-accidental injury. And so it is, I misspoke. It's accidental injury. And so we, you know, the holidays are fraught with options, opportunities for kids to hurt themselves. You know, we think about choking from small objects, you know, like Big Brother's toys are opened up and he drops the Lego on the ground. Little brother picks it up and chokes on it or swallows it and whatnot. You think about Christmas tree and the lights that are dangling. And so if you had any exposed of course, exposed wires, but any of the light bulbs are out that kids could put their hands inside, or just, you know, the injury from something falling on them, from whether it be the new toys or the tree itself or otherwise decorations. I worry about, swallowing of, batteries, those little tiny batteries that we find, like in toys, little tiny, round batteries, they're a horrible choking hazard and can cause burns inside the intestines. And so just kind of keeping in mind the new dangers that kids are being exposed to. I always tell my parents, when they have a new kid that's starting to toddle, to kind of walk around the house on their knees and make sure that that there's nothing that their kid is seeing that they're not seeing. And we don't think about that, but in the holidays, there's a whole new set of obstacles and dangers, so just kind of seeing it from their perspective and just being extra and acutely aware of any type of accident. And then there's the new toys. I didn't think about that, but you have the new toys. If they have a bike, they need to have a helmet, or dash scooter, dash skateboard. I just saw somebody yesterday who fell and broke his wrist from riding a skateboard. And so just, all these new adventures present, the family with all kinds of new potential dangers, just thinking ahead.
So we touched a little bit about the storage of meats and making sure that remains safe. But what about when it comes time to prepare and cook them? What kinds of things should people be keeping in mind when preparing and cooking different types of meats to avoid those common foodborne illnesses as well?
Yeah, and so this sounds common sense, but a lot of us don't do this. I mean, a meat thermometer is the best thing in the world. If you don't have one, ask for a new stocking stuffer. But a meat thermometer, you can check the temperature, and you can always look up on the internet, like what temperature each meat is supposed to be cooked to. I think going by the old fashioned way of cutting it open or guessing is fraught with, danger. And we don't want to get anybody in our family sick. And so just use a meat thermometer and bring it to the recommended temperature based upon what type of meat you're cooking. And like I said, those temperatures will vary depending upon the type of meat.
Are there any other kinds of foods that people should also be really considerate about when they're preparing and cooking them?
I think, allergies is something that we always worry about, but maybe we don't think about. And so just as you have visiting family members, just making sure that we're not, there's a lot of allergies out there. I have a family member who has a gluten sensitivity, just don't think about it. Our typical holiday fare, we have to think about it in terms of how it can affect somebody. I was at a holiday dinner last night and somebody had, really bad gluten sensitivity, and so they brought their own food, and that's probably the smartest thing. And not anybody to feel any type of offense about that. You're just trying to stay safe. And so thinking about allergies is the other thing I think about as opposed to just uncooked food.
So I know during the holiday season when we're all coming together to eat, we're not always thinking about our nutritional health and things like that. We're ready to pig out and enjoy some good food. But are there any particular holiday staples that are a bit more unhealthy that people might need to think about replacing at all, or any things like that, or in keeping moderate?
I like what you just said about keeping moderate. I think we make the mistake sometimes over the holidays to just kind of not pay attention to our bodies. And so, I think most things are probably okay in moderation, unless you have a particular medical condition, like, for example, diabetes or heart disease or something like that. And so I just think folks need to still, still enjoy the holidays unless you've been told by your doctor not to have something, but just kind of approach it with moderation, because you can always go back for seconds or, whatever later on, once you've given your stomach an ability, time to process things. But I worry most around the holidays just about carbs and sweets. And it's less of a health concern unless you're a diabetic. And it's more just like, we eat all of these carbs, and it makes us feel kind of like icky, like tired, and and whatnot. And so I think just approaching it in moderation is probably the smartest thing as you kind of approach. And, you know, there's a lot of good, healthy foods at Christmas time, too. And so, you know, we can enjoy those foods maybe even a little bit more than all the sweets and everything else.
Why are carbs particularly something to be mindful of?
Yeah, so when I say carbs, I guess I should specify, you know, a long time ago, probably the easiest way to think about carbs are the white foods. And so white, and now granted, just because it's not white doesn't mean it's not so bad, but you know, rice is white. There's also brown rice, but that's equally bad. Breads and pastas and potatoes. And so those are some quick carbs that come to mind. And so I guess just recognizing, we're always talking with our patients that need to avoid those carbs, particularly our diabetic patients. You know, they'll avoid the sugar, like the candy, but then they'll eat a lot of carbs. And our body has to process those. But carbs are the things that make us feel tired and, you know, wore out and this kind of thing. You know, we feel like we're about to, I mean, you know, just we, you know, we're so, we can barely move. And so kind of taking a more holistic, moderate approach to, you know, making our plate colorful is something we try to do with our family. If we're eating foods and they're all the same color, particularly if they're all white, that's probably not super healthy for you. And so, of course, I would encourage folks to just, you know, get a colorful plate and approach it with moderation.
Definitely. So back on the weather topic, I know that in South Carolina, we're finally starting to see some of those freezing temperatures overnight coming in. What are some of the things that people should be particularly watching out for when they're going out and things like that with some of these colder weathers really coming in and hitting harder now?
Yeah, and so I think the big thing is just, you know, we probably, particularly in our environment, are less thoughtful about hypothermia. Now, if you live, you know, my family lives in Colorado, and they're more aware of the cold and the dangers that the cold poses. And so given that, just kind of keeping in mind that we're, some of us are more susceptible to the cold than others. Folks with certain medical conditions, maybe on medicines, that makes it a little bit harder for them to stay warm, and so, or even to be aware of their needs to stay warm. And children have a harder time keeping warm in general because they're small, and so they just have a hard time keeping warm secondary to their surface area. They also don't really pay attention to when they're getting too cold. And so, you know, I just, you know, encouraging, you know, kids to dress warmly, wear hats, mittens, this kind of thing, and just don't play outside too long without a break. And so I think that's the important thing as parents we can be aware of. And likewise, older adults, they get, you know, we know this because we visit our grandparents and the house is a billion degrees and because they're keeping it really warm. And that's just because it's harder for them to stay warm. And so I just think the old and the young in particular, being aware of their susceptibility to hypothermia. And then, you know, ironically, folks that drink too much alcohol, they may not realize that they're getting cold, and we see a little uptick in that inside this season. And so that also can lead to hypothermia or too, you know, just being too cold where your body can't regulate the temperature.
Well, thank you again so much for coming on, and I wish y'all a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holidays.
You too. Thank you for the invitation.
Definitely. This has been Focus on the Upstate. I'm Matthew Causey, and I'll see you all again next week.
Thank you for listening to Focus on the Upstate with Matthew Causey. If you'd like more information on today's topic, email focusontheupstate@odyssey.com.